going to talk about. Amen. Is there hope? Is there hope? Is there hope? We all need hope. We all need, amen, hope. Amen. We all need God in a time like this. In a time like this, in a time when it's dark, in a time when it just seems like, amen, all hope is gone. Have you ever been there before? You've been trying. You've been trying to put aside the things that's been weighing on your heart. Amen. You've been trying to cope with that, and you've been trying to go ahead every day and do things as normal. Amen. And somehow the devil, he's a great deceiver. He comes to steal, he comes to kill, he comes to destroy. And one of the things that he tries to do is Satan wants us to believe, amen, that God is nowhere in the picture. Satan wants us to believe that even in this, there's no victory in Jesus. I want to say something to you. I want to say something to you tonight. I believe that there is hope in Jesus Christ. I believe that God majors in hope. I believe that if we learn how to put our trust in God in times when it's rough, when it's difficult, when the days look so dark, when the valley looks so deep, amen, I believe that God is the answer. I want to tell you something. Satan does not want you to believe that God is all powerful. He doesn't want you to believe that your situation, amen, can be overcome, amen, if you put your trust in Christ. But the question I have tonight, how many of you tonight, amen, how many of you here tonight want to know that God, amen, is able to give you hope in a hopeless situation? Open your Bibles, if you would, to the Romans, amen, Romans chapter 8, amen. There's something here that I just saw, something here the Lord just blessed me with, amen. Something the Lord just blessed me with, amen. And if we look at it together, Romans chapter 8, we're just going to walk through it tonight. We're just going to walk through it tonight, amen. Verse 24. Amen. Verse 24, Paul had just got finished talking about in chapter 7. You see, what happens to people? Let me tell you what happens to people. People go out, they leave the presence of God. They go back to the world, and then the Satan convinces them, amen, that there's no hope for them. Do I have anybody? You see, the world has a way, the world and Satan has a way in the flesh. It has a certain way of convincing us that I've messed up so bad, amen, that God will not take me back again. Well, I got good news for you. I got good news for you. Paul says in Romans 7 that we have been united with Christ. But in chapter 7, Paul says that there's something that he was going through in life that he just couldn't cope with it, and that something was his flesh. I want to say this, that there are some of us, we have good intentions. We want to serve God and we want to do the right thing, but the world just keeps pulling us back. The world and the devil keeps reminding us, amen, or convincing us that I've messed up so bad that God will not take me back again. I want to tell you something. The devil is a lie. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And Satan knows that if he can destroy your life at a young age, come on, somebody. Listen, he knows that if he can convince you that God doesn't love you or nobody loves you, as a matter of fact, that you're all alone, that you are in a hopeless situation. I want to talk about tonight. There's hope in this. There's hope in this. In chapter 7, Paul says, for I know verse 18, that nothing good dwells in me. He says that is in my flesh, for the wishing. Anybody there? You wish you could do good. You really want to do good. Listen, you're a good kid. You're a good person, so you say. But listen, it's in you. Amen. If I ask you to do something, you say, Pastor, I'll do it. The wishing is in you, but the doing is not. Look what he says. He says, the wishing is present in me, but the doing of good. Oh, I wish I had somebody. You want to know why we lose hope? Because, listen, you can't accomplish things in life just wishing. Amen. Listen, you can wish to be a good person. You can wish to have a better job. You can wish to do the right thing. But until you do it, it's not going to happen. And see, what happens to a lot of people is that they keep living, watch this, in fantasy and not in reality. They are, watch what the text says. The text says, for the good that I wish I do not do, he says, for the good that I wish I do not do, verse 19, but I practice the very evil that I do not wish. Anybody ever been there? Ever felt trapped? You ever felt trapped to the flesh where you want to do good? But you just keep doing wrong. You just keep doing bad. You just keep going back to the bad ways, to the old ways. Listen, you get on track for a little while. Amen. I believe that even in this, there's hope. See, the first thing you have to do, first thing you want to do, is you have to acknowledge your weaknesses. You may want to write that down. Acknowledge your weaknesses. Paul says, I want to do good. Anybody there? Anybody been there? Listen, I really want to do good. Huh? But for some reason, I just can't do good. He says, acknowledge, come on somebody, acknowledge your weaknesses. Because if you don't acknowledge your weaknesses, you will never know what you really need to work on. Do I have anybody? And sometimes we're walking around thinking it's going to get better by itself. But can I tell you something? It's not going to get better by itself. It takes you, God, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, amen, in order for things to get better. But if you don't acknowledge that there's a weakness, you and I will never move past where we are. The text goes on to say, he says, but in verse 20, but if I'm doing the very thing I do not wish, I know I am no longer the one doing it, but what? Can I tell you something? Sin wants to control you. So not only must you acknowledge your weakness, but the second thing you have to do is acknowledge what it is. And it is sin. Whenever we are without hope, it's because somewhere in our lives, our brother took his life. Because for some reason, he did not recognize what it really was. It was sin. May I say this to you tonight? You are fearfully, come on somebody, and wonderfully made. God says before a day was written in your life, he had every day written in his book. But if you allow sin, oh, I wish I had somebody, to have rule over your life, You will be without hope because the Bible says sin leads us to destruction. Lust, when it's conceived, leads to sin. Sin, when it's accomplished, brings forth and death in a way where it leaves us hopeless. I'm talking about tonight. Amen. There's hope in this. In whatever you're going through tonight, acknowledge your weaknesses. Acknowledge your sins. Accept these things. Watch what he says. He says, but sin which dwells in me. And I find in the principle that evil. Let me say this to you. Let me just help you. Let me just break it to you. Okay, tonight. Even the most spiritual person here tonight. We have some evil in us. Amen. Until we leave this body, until we exit this world, we have to acknowledge next our true nature. That's the next thing. You have to acknowledge your true nature. Stop beating yourself up about it. Stop feeling like you're the only one. Stop thinking that you can be better. You can be better. But it starts with acceptance. He says, I find that then the principle that evil is present in me. The one who wishes to do good. Anybody here, you've been trying to do good? And listen, you've been trying to do good for a long time. And every time you start doing good, evil starts rising up. Sin starts coming to the forefront. And for some reason, you start thinking, I don't know about this. There's no hope for me. You see, that can happen. That can happen to people. That can happen to the best of us. We can start feeling like there's no hope for me. Why can't I listen? Come on, somebody. Why will I not do right? Why will I not live for God? Why is it that he can do it, but I can't do it? You ever felt that way? You ever felt that way that you're doing something and you're trying to do what others are trying to do and you keep saying, why do I keep falling short? The devil is a liar. You got to remind yourself who you are and whose you are. Do I have anybody? The text says, look what it says. Paul says, he says, for I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind. May I tell you something? The mind is a powerful thing. He says there's a law. First of all, there's a principle. And then the next thing he says, there's a law. What's the law? The law is that, watch this, he has a war going on. The next thing I want to tell you, amen, is that you got to recognize that you are in a war. You are in a war for your mind. He says there's a principle and now there's a law. What's the law? The law is, watch this, he says, this is powerful. He says the law in the members of my body. That word members means your body parts, your mind, your eyes, your hands, your lips, your foot, your fingers. Listen, the way you think, what you look at, what you say out of your mouth, the words that you use, there's a principle working in us, saints, but we got to understand that even with us being the way we are, there is still hope in this. Look what he says. He says, making me a prisoner Watch this. Of the law of sin, which is in my members. Verse 24, he says, O wretched man that I am, who can set me free from this body of death? In other words, Paul was saying, because I told you sin leads to death. Paul was saying, man, I am in a dead end situation. I'm in a situation that's not going to get any better. But he says, verse 25, and I'm getting to my verse. I just had to give you the context. Look what he says here. He says, thanks be to God. Oh, I wish I had somebody. I wish I had somebody tonight. Listen, is there hope in this? There's a lot of hope in this. See, the only way you're going to see hope is if you see it through Jesus. Listen, there's nobody better than Jesus. Listen. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's deliverance in the name of Jesus. Amen. There's freedom in the name of Jesus. Watch this. Listen, crackheads can get delivered in the name of Jesus. Listen, people who are on the streets can be delivered in the name of Jesus. But Paul says we're jacked up, but there's hope in this. Why? Because he thanks God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that on one hand, I myself, with my mind, am serving the law of God. But on the other, with the flesh, the law of sin. You see, here's what you have to do, saints. You and I, we have to develop a Christ-like mind. Listen, everything starts here. And so if I was to give you another point, I would say the next thing we have to do is we have to change our thinking. We have to change the way we think. We have to believe that God is more powerful than the present circumstances that we are faced with. Because watch this. At the end of the day, we understand genetically we have a sin nature. But at the end of the day, you understand that Christ is more powerful. But I want to deliver somebody tonight. Let me tell you something. Satan has convinced you that you're not going to get any better. But I want you to look at chapter 8, verse 1. I want to give you some freedom tonight. Watch what he says. He says, there is therefore now. There's therefore now no. Listen, I need to do this tonight, y'all. I didn't need to teach Bible study tonight. I need to do this tonight. Listen, I need this for me tonight. There's therefore no condemnation. Listen, Satan wants to convince you that the law of your mind, the principle in your body, the sin and all these other things, watch this, you are condemned. But he's a lie. There's no truth in him. He says there's no condemnation. There's therefore now no condemnation. No matter what he tries to do, listen, you and I are free. There's hope for us. Because therefore now, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm going to say it one more time. Satan wants to condemn you. Satan wants you to believe that you're not going to be any better. Satan wants you to know this. He wants you to believe the lies that if you really was for God, then you wouldn't be going over there. You wouldn't be doing this. You wouldn't be talking like this. You wouldn't be walking like this. Listen, your life would be different. And I want to tell you something. You got to remind yourself, baby, you are under construction. And when Satan puts this condemnation upon you, you start condemning the very thing that Christ died for on Calvary, and that's for you. There's hope in this because I'm no longer, you may want to write this down, I'm no longer condemned. I should be condemned. God should condemn me. But not for those in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you what happens when a person and he's looking for hope. When a person loses hope, it's because Satan has convinced them, you're no better. What do you think he did with our brother? You're nothing. You're nothing. God doesn't want you. God doesn't want anything to do. As a matter of fact, God doesn't even care for you. Come on, somebody. Listen, these are the lies that he starts, but listen, putting in our minds, getting us to believe that God doesn't love us, but God loves us even with our mess. He says, there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. And that brings me all the way to chapter 8. We'll go down to verse 24. Verse 24 gives us a word. Verse 21 gives us that word. That word that we've been talking about all night. What's the word we've been talking about? Hope. Is there hope in this? Yes, there is. Watch what he says. For in hope, oh my gosh, we have been what? Is there hope in this? Next thing you got to do is you got to remember. Write this down. Write this down for me. This is what's going to help you in those tough days. Write this one down. Remember that once you're saved, you're always saved. The young girl that went out to the party a couple years ago, Christian girl, the first time going to a party, she got shot in the head. Listen, she's still saved. You see, Satan thinks he wins when he takes the life of one of ours. Satan thinks he wins in this, but he loses because guess what? It's a double-edged sword. Because once you're saved, he says, for in hope you have been saved. But watch this now. But hope. May I say this to you? Stop looking for hope. Because he says, hope that is seen. Oh, hallelujah to his holy name, is not hope. Can I tell you what happens to hope? Hope, write this down, just happens to you. Hope will start happening to you because of your salvation in Jesus Christ. People are out here. The devil is trying to sell us hope. And that hope is a deception. Here's the hope that he gives us. You get a better job. Amen. That's hope. You get a new boyfriend. No, you leave your husband or you leave your wife or you go out into the world. You don't need church. What's church going to do for you? You can do bad by yourself without anybody trying to ask you for your money. But you don't know, baby. There's something powerful about being in the presence of God. You see, because you have been saved, let me give you this. Because listen, I'm concerned for our young people. You don't have to take your life. Because you have hope. You know how you have hope? Because you've been saved. And because you're saved, you have a constant hope. You have something to live for now. You see, if you're living for the things of the world, it will disappoint you every time. Watch this. But if we hope, I'm sorry. Verse 24, I'm sorry. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one also hope for what he sees? See, we want to see hope. Hope just happens to you. Hope just, listen, God starts just building it in you. He starts giving it to you. You start seeing different. Listen, stop looking for the wrong thing. Watch what he says next. Verse 25. But if we hope for what we do not see, oh, I want to say something to somebody right now. You see, this is the kind of people we are. If we don't see it, we don't believe it. We want to see stuff, but that's not faith either. Sometimes you're looking at your life and you're saying, man, I don't see anything. Sometimes I'm looking at our church and I'm saying, God, what's going on? Hope. You know why I have hope? Because I believe in the one who made the promise. You see, and when I look at your lives and when I look at what God is doing in the life of the people that's here, listen, I see something. Some of us are leaving the presence of God, going out into the world, and baby, you've been trying to find hope, but you will never find it because that's the lie of the devil. Hope, you will never see. It just happens to you. Oh, Lord, have mercy. It just happens to you. It just happens to you. Look what he says. He says, but if we hope for what we do not see with perseverance, may I tell you something? In this, you have to persevere. When the tough times of your life starts coming down upon you, when pain and suffering and life starts throwing you swift transitions, and when you don't understand why things are coming your way, he says you have to persevere, because perseverance worketh patience, and patience brings you hope. I say this to you. Giving up is not an option. But people that give up, they're literally saying, I don't want to persevere anymore. I don't want to stay under the pressure. The word there is hupotasso, and the word means to remain under. And as the pressure comes upon you, and if you keep pushing against the pressure, guess what's going to start happening in your life? You're going to start becoming stronger. Your faith is going to start getting stronger. Listen, and everything else is going to start looking differently, because now you're operating from a position of strength and not weakness. Listen, anybody can go out here and make $1 million, but can you persevere? hope. He says, with perseverance, we wait eagerly. Here's the next thing I want to give you. How many must you persevere? It's probably about a 15 point. But here's the next thing you got to do. Ready for this? You got to wait. You got to wait for your change. You got to wait for your change. And let me ask you something. Let me just give you a few things right quick. You got to do while you're waiting. If you come to seminary, you learn this stuff. Let me tell you what you do while you're waiting. You ready? I'm going to give you some things. Let me give it to you right quick. First thing you got to do while you're waiting, you got to worship while you wait. Next thing you got to do, you got to have joy while you wait. The next thing you got to do is you got to obey while you wait. The next thing you got to do is you got to persevere while you wait. The next thing you got to do, you got to get in the word while you wait. The next thing you got to do is not only must you worship, but you got to praise while you wait. And if you don't do those things while waiting, if you don't do it, you will give up. And somebody, I want to tell you something, you're ready to give up. But you got to hold on. Because I want to say this to you. I want to say this to you, and I'm coming to close. Amen. I want to say this to you tonight. There's a reason why you got to wait. You know why you got to wait? And let me say this to you. You got to catch the word in the text. The text says in verse 25, we're not just waiting, but we're like a kid in a candy store. We're like a kid waiting for daddy to come pick me up this weekend. And he promised that he's going to take me. Amen. To the baseball game, to the basketball game. And after the basketball game, we're going to go. He paints the picture for you. After the basketball game, son, we're going to go over to Papa Do's and we're going to eat some food. And then after that, we're going to stop by Baskin and Robbins and we're going to get us some ice cream. And we're going to, you're sitting. And it's Monday when he tells you this. And here it is Tuesday and you're sitting there and you're pacing the ground. You're saying, Mama, it's coming, it's coming. Mama, Daddy said he's going to take me, he's going to take me, he's going to take me. And you're eagerly waiting. Listen, you're not slipping, you're eagerly waiting because you're preparing yourself for what was promised. Let me say this to you. Whatever he promised you. 7,467 promises, and he says all of them is for you, but you got to wait. Your problem may be the reason why you have no hope in this is because you stop waiting and you got into the driver's seat. You can't be daddy and kid at the same time. He says you have to eagerly wait because hope that's seen is not hope. Daddy paints the picture. It hadn't happened yet, but guess what? You're pacing the ground. Wednesday come, and you're saying, man, whoo, I can't wait. You're going to school. You're doing all your work in school because you want to be good. Because Daddy said, you got to be good, son. You got to be good. And then Friday comes. How many know Friday is going to come? Friday, he gets up and he's eagerly waiting and he got to school because Friday is the day that daddy said, we're going to the game, son. And he can't wait. And see, I don't see many Christians waiting like this for their daddy. I don't see many Christians on fire for their daddy. I don't see many Christians with hope today because they stop believing. They want to see it, but they don't know. It just happens to you. It just happens to you. We should be full of joy and happiness knowing that daddy has promised. And whatever daddy promised, he'll deliver. You see, that's why I know there's hope in this. I gotta wait. And And as I wait for the Lord, the Bible says he'll renew your strength. He'll mount you up with wings like eagles. You'll run and not get weary. They that wait upon the Lord. Let me say to you young people, the problem that you have, and to you older people too, you don't know how to wait. And what happens to us, we stop believing God when things are not happening for us. And God says, now I see your true motives. Now I know why you were waiting. You were just waiting for a period of time until you kind of got what you wanted. But I say this to you. There's hope even in this. And I like verse 27. Verse 26. And let me tell you something about this hope situation. Let me tell you about this thing about when you're waiting. Somebody need to know this. See, the reason you can wait, the reason you can persevere, the reason you don't condemn yourself, the reason you acknowledge your true nature. Amen. It's because you're not alone in this. Some of you feel alone. You're not alone. Most people that lose hope, they feel like they're all alone. Nobody understands. Nobody knows, Pastor. Nobody knows my pain. Nobody knows the abuse I went through. Nobody knows the pain I went through as a child. Nobody knows, Pastor. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. But God knows. God knows. The text says in verse 26, and in the same way, you see it? See, I love the word. See, I can get up here and talk about a whole lot of stuff. But there's something that God has done for me lately. He says, Pastor, it's in the word. I've been leaving church lately thinking, I want to go home and just read my Bible. I don't know what it is lately. I've been thinking, man, I just want to get home and I just want to open it up. I'm falling in love again with Jesus. There's something about his word that's so intriguing to me. I'm not concerned about how I sound or how I look or how well I prepare or how well I present, because it's changing me. It's changing you. But see, when people lose hope, they don't think they have any help. When you start feeling like you're all alone, you're not alone. When my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will pick me up. Yeah, daddy left. Daddy left a long time ago. Guess what? He's gone. But God, he hadn't left you. See, that's what the devil wants you to believe, that you're hopeless. You know why we're doing the big D this weekend? But there's some kids that are broken. They've lost hope. They're ready to give up. They're ready to throw in the towel. They're ready to give up on life. Because their daddy, their mama, had forsaken them. But I love this verse. The verse says, and in the same way, the Spirit also helps our what? So we talked about earlier, right? The Spirit helps our weaknesses. For we do not know how. Sometimes when you're going through, you don't even know how to pray. You just don't know how. You tried, and the devil tries telling you it ain't getting through. You've been praying and praying. Listen, sometimes when you get to the place of hopelessness, you don't even know how to pray. He says the Spirit of God that Jesus left on this earth that lives inside of you. Yes, you. He lives in you. Right now, he lives in you. He says, when we do not know how to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. So not only must you learn how to wait, but you also got to know that you have help in times of weakness. Write it down. You have help in times of weakness. And let me just show you one piece of this verse here, right here. Jump over real quick. Jump down, I should say. To verse 31. We're going to get out early tonight. What then shall we say to these things? What things, Pastor? Verse 28, read it for me. Read verse 28 for me. To these things, what should we say? We know that the Spirit is making intercession for us, but what shall we say in verse 28? What does it say in verse 28? Tell me what it says in verse 28. Listen, we're going to have some hope tonight. We're going to leave here different. Read it for me. What does it say in verse 28? Tell me what it says. For what? For who? Who? We. There's something different about you. We know what? What do we know? We know that even in our brother's death, God is going to work it out. He's going to help Sister Angie. He's going to help them through this. That even in this, there's hope. Because God knows how to take a bad situation. Satan thought he won. Satan thought he won, but he lost. Because our brother, he's in the presence of God. You say, well, he took his life, Pastor. He's in the presence of God. Because our God works all things. Come on, somebody. He takes your good, your bad, your ugly, your indifferences, your in-betweens, and he put it together like a cake mix. And then he mixes it up together. Y'all remember when I preached this a long time ago? And we mix it up together and he puts you in the oven because you got to go through the heat. And then you come out. Hallelujah. He says, what shall we say then to these things that God works all things? I'm sorry, I feel like this tonight. If God, I hadn't preached like this in a long time. If God be for you. Come on, somebody. Listen, if you're losing hope, you got to get to the word and say, if God be for me. Who? I'm going to say this right now. Who? You can threaten me. You can say you want to shoot me, whatever the case may be. It doesn't really matter to me. Guess what? If God is for me, you can't touch me. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can't touch this. If God is for me. If God is for me. When God is on your side, If God's for me, the rent's going to get paid. If God's for me, no weapons formed against me shall prosper. If God is for me, everything is going to be all right. If God is for me, things are going to work out in my relationships. If God is for me, I am going to be more than a conqueror. If God's for me, I will be delivered from drugs. If God is for me, I will be delivered from alcohol. If God is for me, I will be a new creature in Christ. God is for me. Now jump on down. Let me tell you what else you have. Verse 3, I promise you, I'm done. Let me show you something real quick. Let me just show you something right here. So that next point, after that last point, was you got to remember who's for you. But here's my last point. Here's my last point for you tonight. And we heading up out of here because the chicken house open till 10 o'clock tonight. We're going to make it to the chicken house tonight. Don't y'all lie in the house of God. Amen. Let me just tell you. If God be for me, amen. Let me give you the last point. Last point, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? So not only is God for me, not only is the Spirit interceding for me. Watch this. This is powerful. But I have nothing. He was not separated from the love of God. He says, who? In other words, nobody can pull you away from God. Nobody can nobody can change God's love for you. You know how people love you now? And then do something, then they're gone. You ever had people in your life that you said, listen, you even told them with your mouth, I love you. What happened to that love? That was lust. That wasn't love. Because let me tell you what love can do. Shall tribulation? Tribulation doesn't take love. True love, that is. Distress. This sounds familiar. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Shall distress? Shall persecution? And oftentimes, these are the things that causes us to separate ourselves from God. But even when these things happen to us, God still loves us. That's love. I've never experienced this kind of love until I met Jesus. People don't even love you like this. When you're going through it, they ain't gonna be there for you. You think that you, oh yeah, we hanging out. Get arrested. Get caught doing something crazy. See what they do. They will leave you by yourself. Because every man, he ain't going to come back and say, well, you know, I did it with him. And we're going to do probation together or time together. No, ain't nobody going to do that. Because everybody's out for themselves. But here, let me just say this to you. When you're going through persecution, when you're going through distress, when you're going through famine and nakedness and peril and sword, you got to remember something. You have to draw from the love of God. See, watch this. When you're going through persecution, right, the last thing on your mind is God. God says to you, access my love. Know that that somebody loves you. When people lose hope, they don't think anybody loves them. And what Satan tries to do is he tries to get us to believe that God doesn't love you no more. And because God doesn't love you, that's why you're going through what you're going through. But that's not true. Because the text says, who shall separate me from the love of God? Nothing. But look what he says, just as written, for thy sake, we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as a sheep to a slaughter. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly concur through him who loved us. Here's the next thing you got to know. Next, I told you, you got to understand that God loves you, right? That nothing can separate you from God's love. But here's the next thing you got to be, the next thing you have to do. The next thing you have to do, you have to be convinced of this love. Well, I'm convinced that neither death, oh hallelujah, even in our brother's death, God is still love. Matter of fact, God is loving on him right now. What kind of God will do that? That even neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. As I close, you have to be convinced that God's love reaches beyond, oh hallelujah, what we can even imagine or even think. Is there hope in this? Yes, Pastor, there is hope in this. Because God's love for you, for Fitzgerald, for Sister Angela, because of that love, he's going to do Romans 8:28. He's going to work it out. In the coming weeks, in the coming months, we're going to see that love manifested. Tonight, maybe you have lost hope. Maybe tonight, Satan has convinced you that your sin is keeping you away from God. And you will never be right with God. I say this to you tonight. Don't believe that lie. Maybe you want me to pray for you tonight. Maybe you need to come back to the Lord tonight. Lord, I've been away from you. Lord, I bought the lie of Satan, and I don't want to. I don't want to feel condemned anymore. I don't want to feel hopeless anymore. Maybe you got to learn. Maybe you're not learning how to wait. Maybe the waiting is what you're struggling with. Maybe tonight I can pray for you tonight. Maybe tonight I can pray for you tonight. Maybe tonight you need prayer. I want to pray for you tonight.